This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stop and show here on the Team 980. Nats opening week. We're broadcasting live on Thursday from Tap 99 in Navy Yard. Hopefully we'll see some of you there. Be a good time. Looking forward to that. Right now, though, before we get to some NFL mock drafting at 5:30, as we are 1 month from the NFL draft. I repeat,
ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement. We are 1 month from the NFL draft. 1 month from the NFL draft. But
today we're talking Terps because the Turtles are on their way to the Sweet 16 for the second time since 2003, first time since 2016. And a little earlier today, you know who I had to talk to about this. The one and only Kevin Sheehan was able to catch up with him before he left his studio after his show. And that is today's Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Kevin, happy Turtles this morning. How you feeling after that exhaustive game
so
last
awesome.
Night?
So great. You know, you don't get that many opportunities. I mean, I only love a couple of teams now as I've gotten older. And obviously, the run that the Skins had was incredible. But last night was when that shot went in. Like I was talking about it on radio today, it was thrilling. I mean, screaming at the top of my lungs. And at the same time, I was not expecting it because everything, you know, not just this season, but over the years, usually it's a dagger the other way. And we've got a lot of scar tissue as Maryland fans to sort of, represent that. And there's also relief that they got out of the first weekend. Like, it was all these things coming together, but the shot itself was great. The game was actually a really good basketball game. Colorado State played really well. It was not Maryland's best game by a long shot. I'm just glad they got to move on and get, you know, a big-time matchup against Florida. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, everyone can hear the game right here on the Team 980. We'll lead into it on Thursday. Pre-game will start at 7 o'clock. It's one of the night games out there in San Francisco. Let's work backwards. Let's start with the shot. Great job by the post-game interview being like, hey, you know, tell us what happened, take us inside the huddle, and Willard telling us, like, I just was basically like, who wants the ball? And apparently Queen was like, give it to me, paraphrase, radio-friendly paraphrase. And I think that's great. It's a great story. It's very entertaining. If I'm a Maryland fan, I'm also like, what do you mean he had to tell you to give him the ball? He's so clearly the best player. What do you think about how all of that came together and kind of that final, let's call it 2.5-3 minute stretch where Queen didn't have any touches, and Colorado State's able to get rid of that 4-point lead that Maryland had.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is he is their best player, you know, but they have a lot of options. You know, they've had Rodney Rice hit a game winner at Indiana. They've had some other guys capable of, I actually thought the play was going to Gillespie. A lot of times the inbounder in a less than five situation is the guy they're going right back to. And once I saw Reese down screen, I knew that it wasn't going to Gillespie. But yeah, I mean, Kevin's such an interesting guy. He's got a great sense of humor, but it's typical sort of Jersey, very sarcastic. So a lot of the stuff that he talks about, sometimes I'm not sure if he's just exaggerating or being sarcastic, but apparently he did get in the huddle and say, who wants this? And Queen stepped up, and it's a good play that they ran for him, because that's where he's done most of his damage this year, is catching it in the middle of the floor, right around the free throw line. He's been uncheckable. He's really skilled as a big, and he can put it on the floor. It was still a high degree of difficulty shot because it was defended well. Him going to his left, he's done all year long, but it was defended so well. And then the angle on a bank shot got to that point where it's like there's only a little bit of room to be perfect. There's less margin for error. And he knocked it down. I loved it. I hated the defensive possession. You know, they played zone. They had a foul to give. Kevin apparently instructed to give it. They didn't do it for some reason. They let the best three-point shooter shoot an open three, which was so Maryland, if that's the way the season ended. But I love their calm in that they didn't take a timeout. They got the ball in, got it to half court in less than 3 seconds, and called their last timeout, which gave them the opportunity to run that. You know, a lot of people say, well, no, just go against a defense that isn't set. I liked what they did. I thought they were calm under pressure there. Not so much on the defensive end.
Yeah, Kevin Sheehan's with us talking about Maryland's win, of course, advancing them to the Sweet 16, first time in the Kevin Willard era, first time in a couple of eras, but they are off to the Sweet 16. Again, that game you'll hear on the Team 980 on Thursday against Florida. I haven't watched a ton of them this year because I'm just not a huge college basketball guy at this point in my life, and it's kind of funny to then parachute in on the tournament and have takes, but you'd parachute in, and I watched the game for 5 minutes, and I'm like, oh, I get the Derek Queen thing. He's awesome. He's so clearly the best player on the floor. And then to see him not get those touches, how do you think Willard balances that moving forward? As he obviously proved in that moment, like, that could be a big breakthrough moment for him, but guards tend to also win in March. So as you look at this matchup against Florida, how do you think he manages that, however many games they have left going forward, knowing that you have watched all year and watched religiously with a high basketball?
Yeah, I think, first of all, when you have that many options, you've got five guys that basically average double figures, and right, any one of the five can go for 20 on any night. That's a real luxury to have when you've got five dudes that, you know, on any given night, two or three of them can go for 18 plus. And they've done it all year long. They were in double figures, all five of them yesterday. The key moving forward, and I thought it was important yesterday, and they got through, they haven't rebounded well recently. They've gotten crushed on the defensive end, giving up too many offensive rebounds. Michigan had more offensive rebounds in the Big Ten semifinal game than Maryland had total rebounds in the game.
Wow.
So it's like, why is that happening? Well, a lot of them are threes and they're coming out long, and that just happens, you know, at every level. A lot of it is because they're switching one through five, so their bigs end up out on the perimeter. Some of it was they were in zone, and sometimes it's harder to rebound out of a zone, but they've got to rebound better against Florida. Florida's big, they're physical. And I think one of the things that's super important Thursday night is that their guards rebound. You know, they're going to be in position where their guards have to end up with four or five rebounds as well. If you give up second and third opportunities against Florida, it's probably a long night. But Craig, Maryland didn't play well yesterday. They didn't play well against Grand Canyon. They have played of their now, 27-8, 35 games. You know, there have been 12 or 13 nights where they've looked like the best team in America, starting five-wise, and have been unguardable because they've got five guys that can do it. They can go inside out. They can go outside in. They can take it off the glass and run. They can take it out of the net and run. They're great in transition. They're great in the half court. They defend in the half court. I don't think they've played anywhere near their best in these first two games. If they play at the level that they played at against Illinois in the Big Ten quarterfinal game, which was – and they blasted the Illini right from the jump. They can beat anybody left in this draw. They're good enough to do that. They've got the size. They've got the guard play. They do defend well enough. The rebounding thing is a concern in recent games. Now, can they do it for four more games? I don't know, but they're capable of winning Thursday night.
So let's underscore that real quick, and then I want to go back to another big story from this game. To you, like, what's the canary in the coal mine, if you will, for Maryland? What's the thing that if you're watching, you're going, they're on it today. We're good. We're in good shape. Is it the rebounding? Is it the three-point shooting? Is it who's taking shots? How the shots are coming? Like, what's the thing that you're looking for on Thursday night to say this is the best version of this Terrapins team?
That's a really good question because they've done it well in many different ways. Like, they've had nights where they've been unstoppable, where it's been all guard play. They've had nights against Illinois. I don't know how many threes they had. This was the regular season game at Illinois. They won by 21. Now, Illinois was missing their big guy, and Maryland just pounded them at the rim inside all night long. Reese had maybe the best game of his career, and he was unstoppable inside. So there's not an easy answer to that because some nights you come out and it's like the ball's moving well. It's going inside out and they're knocking down shots. Then other nights, the ball's going inside and they're dominating, you know, with Queen and Reese on the inside. I think handling the ball, protecting the ball, not turning the ball over, sometimes that's a really good sign. Not that they've had a major turnover problem, but there have been a couple of games where they've been too casual with the ball offensively. And then I think some sort of physical presence defensively on the glass against a team like Florida. But they've done it in so many different ways, which is why they're dangerous.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. Kevin Sheehan with us talking Terps here on the Hoffman Show. Team 980, always live as well on the Free Odyssey app. We're on YouTube too at the Team 980. Kevin, by the way, his show is going to start streaming on YouTube very soon, so make sure you are subscribed to the Team 980 on YouTube for that. See him and Denton daily if you so choose. It was funny watching the game last night, second screen style. I'm checking in on Twitter and all the other apps every once in a while and watching the dueling Twitter feeds of you and JP Finley, both of whom were talking about the refs. JP was ready to just like throw tomatoes at someone or hard rocks or something. You were much more of like, this game is not being well officiated. Maryland needs to adjust. College basketball officiating has been terrible as long as I can remember since I did care a lot more about it. What did you make of the officiating specifically in the game yesterday and how Maryland ultimately adjusted or didn't to it?
By the way, I think the officiating throughout the tournament so far has been horrendous.
It always is.
When you get the mix of referees not refereeing with their normal crew, plus every league officiates differently, and so you end up with, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. Maryland fans have a history of being referee complainers at the highest level. We had a major inferiority complex in the ACC for all those years because we weren't the Carolina school. We were the Yankee school up north. And even though Maryland basketball was a force in the ACC, we always felt shorted by a bad whistle at Duke, a bad whistle at Carolina. Now in the Big Ten for 11 years, Wisconsin, you get a terrible whistle at Wisconsin. It's like the place in the Big Ten we've learned. For whatever reason, referees succumb to the crowd in Madison. It's not Duke level, but it's pretty bad. I don't think officiating determined the game if Maryland lost last night, but they missed on an egregious, flagrant foul. I mean, Neat Clifford took an absolute shot elbow that could have really hurt Jordan Geronimo. And the fact that you've got an alternate referee whose job, part of it, is to let the referees on the floor know you got to come over and look at something. That's all they do all game long, is that they're at the monitors in these games four or five times a game. And how that got missed, it was a big swing in the game too, because I don't think he should have gotten a flagrant two, because I think in the tournament you can't take the best player off the court unless he's swinging at somebody with punches.
Right.
I think in a regular season game, that would have been flagrant two possible, but it's a flagrant one. Maryland shooting two free throws and the ball in a 3-point or 5-point game. Instead, they go into the breakdown seven. So it was a big missed call. He also had an obvious hook and hold on a score.
Yep.
They were letting guys stay in the paint for 7-8 seconds at a time, which, by the way, is 3-second calls don't get called at any level anymore. You know, just like traveling doesn't, palming doesn't. You don't get any of those calls at the NBA level or the college level. But I did not think it was a one-sided officiated game. I just thought it was a poorly officiated game. Maryland, Colorado State never got into the bonus. They had twice as many fouls called on them than Maryland did. They never shot a 1-1 free throw in the game. That's unusual. But I did not. I thought that the flagrant miss was really brutal, because those are the things that always get caught now in this day and age. And how part of it was that Maryland didn't react. You know, if Geronimo had gotten up and was screaming, the dude swung an elbow at me, they go look at it. But Maryland's bench didn't see it from Geronimo, and the alternate referee didn't pick up on it.
Yeah, no, I think that's the problem often with refereeing, is you always feel like your team is getting screwed, because all the ones that you miss, at the behest of your team or at the detriment of your team, you yell about, and the ones that you get missed that help your team, you tend to not yell about, and then there's an uneven emotional response and you just feel like you're getting screwed. But Colorado State fans, I'm sure, aren't thrilled that the travel wasn't called on Queen on the game winner, which I think was borderline. I don't know that it actually was a travel. It was awkward in terms of the steps.
Yeah,
but a lot of folks think it was, and so, you know, evens out in the end. Wrapping up here with Kevin Sheehan, talking Terps on the Team 980. You want much more of Kevin's thoughts on this game and everything going on with Maryland, of course, you can check out the podcast from his show or his podcast. Two separate things. You can check out both of them. When you talk about the bigger program picture right now, though, Kevin, there's kind of this big cloud hanging over everything because of comments Kevin Willard made last week. He's apparently been offered an extension. He does not want to sign it yet because he wants more guarantees for the program. What do you make of that from both sides, from what Willard is asking for and how the university and the athletic department probably see these negotiations and those asks?
Yeah, I'm 100% behind Kevin Willard, and I really want him to stay. Maryland basketball has been a big deal for a long time to fans, to alums. It is a basketball first school, just always has been. It's what's most important by far. But for a couple of administrations, athletic department wise, and even just school front office, it hasn't been treated that way inside the building, so to speak. And I think Kevin Willard took an opportunity to say, in a moment in which they finished second in the Big Ten, had 25 wins, they were a 4 seed, he was being sought after, and I think maybe still is, by Villanova, to say, hey, you know, from the outside, our fan base thinks we've got all of the advantages of all of the top tier programs, but we don't. And for whatever reason, for too long now, two consecutive coaches, even going back to Gary with Debbie Yao, you know, football's creating the revenue stream. We all understand that. They're in the Big Ten, which was supposed to be and has been a financial boon for the school and for the athletic department. But Maryland is one of those unique schools, Indiana, Kentucky. I'm not putting them on the level of Kentucky, but where basketball's always come first with the fans and students and alums. And that's for, you know, that's a product of being in the ACC, which was a basketball league much more than it was a football league. And they haven't had the internal support that the top tier programs have. I loved what Kevin did. It was certainly unusual. You know, most coaches would say, yeah, I appreciate the question. We're focused on Grand Canyon. But he took that opportunity to kind of show the athletic director the door. But I hope it ends up with him staying and him getting the kind of support that a big-time basketball program, perception-wise, they are, should get.
Do you think that comment is directed more at the athletic director or at like the Kevin Planks and the super donors of the world.
No, it's much more of an administrative thing than it is. But Maryland has not produced at the NIL level with donor support like a lot of other schools have. And it's not from a lack of very wealthy, you know, grads. But for whatever reason, they haven't done that. It's not terrible. But I think rev share, the Big Ten rev share, is what they want perhaps a bigger chunk of, and maybe just more dedicated resources to basketball. Football is going to get the majority, in especially as a Big Ten school. But I think there are just things and maybe a level of support internally that he's looking for that he's probably surprised he didn't get from day one when people were telling him you're going to, you know, a big time basketball school.
Last thing to wrap it up then, if he can somehow pull this off and make an Elite Eight and or a Final Four run, if he wins two more, how much does that help his case? Or is this all, you know, moving deck chairs around, and, you know, the Maryland side has already made their decision on how much resources they will or won't give to Kevin Willard?
I think it's a fluid situation because the AD just left and there isn't a new AD. Mm. So you're dealing with the school president, you're dealing with the associate AD, et cetera. I think it was, you know, given that most people don't know what was going on and what he was really referring to, he really needed to win two games, you know, over the weekend. Yeah. It would not have looked good for him, even though I think a lot of us understand he's right, if they had lost to Colorado State yesterday and been bounced in the first weekend again. There was a real kind of deep breath, phew, you know, relief that they got out of this weekend. Gary was getting out of this weekend regularly. Like we were always expecting that the second weekend would be a minimum for, you know, a decade and a half. And the last 20 years have been tough. I mean, yesterday they were into the second weekend for the second time in 21 years. They've been in the tournament a lot. They've been in second round games a lot, but they've lost some brutal heartbreakers in the second round. I think winning those two were crucial. Not that Florida's icing on the cake, because they're there now. They got a chance. I think it would have been, the whole thing perception-wise would have been tougher for him had they not won two this weekend.
Maryland, Florida, 7 o'clock pregame on Thursday. Kevin will be talking about it all week, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on the Team 980. Sheehan, appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.